welcome to our new Mick Artistics Ego podcast. We'll be bringing you chat, insight, nonsense, laughter, music, and a few surprises. You can find out about our current activities, gigs, release news at mickartistic.com and on Facebook at Mick Artistics Ego Trip, as well as plenty of footage on our YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Twitter at Mick Artistic, at Johnny Ego Trip, and at Ego Trip News. Today's guest is Cathal Smith, more famously known as Chas Smash. He was a member of British ska band Madness from the beginnings in 1976 until 2014. In 2015, he released his first solo album, A Comfortable Man. The album reached number 10 on the independent music chart, and Times newspaper named it their album of the week. On today's podcast, we talk about Ireland, Iraq, flute playing, Pilates, Glastonbury being the best fest, going on Zen retreats, bringing kids on tour with Madness, The Fall and Vitalis, and Chas gives me a tour of his garden in Ibiza on Zoom. Carl, Chas Smash, Cathal, McGonigal, Madness.
Carl, whatever you like, whatever you like.
Okay.
Nice to be here with you, Mick, and hello everyone out there in Zoom land.
Yeah, well, it's lovely I've just been listening to You're Not Alone.
Oh yeah.
My partner Kath, she came in. She was out doing something in the kitchen. Said, "What's that?" And she's from Hartlepool. She's fairly she's fairly frank in there. She taught me how to swear. She's a witch. She is, but she came in. She came into the room. She says, "What's that?" I said, "Oh, that's Cal Smash." She said, "It's beautiful."
Thank you.
It's a very stirring, very surprise, because I've not been listening to your stuff recently. I didn't know you were doing I just knew Madness, and then I heard your voice, and it's really bell-like.
Ah, thanks very much. I mean, I've only ever done one solo album, so I did that in I think I released it in the end of 2014 or 2015. Anyway, I'm very grateful. What's your wife's name?
My partner, she's called Kath. Kath Murphy.
Kath Murphy, spuds. I have a cousin, Pat Murphy.
Yeah, well, she's up in the bath now, and she was going to help me, but she's fucked off. She was going to set me up. I wanted to get to, like, a double screen, but what people are going to see, they're going to see you, well, they're going to see me talking, then it's going to jump to you, then it's going to be me talking and jump to you. It's not like
I don't know how you do that, Mick.
You what?
I don't know how you do that.
Well, you're not good to me. Here we are, stranded in media land. right, love. Well,
a little bit red.
I've got stuff written down here. I just scribbled a lot of stuff. Like, I put down the return of the Las Palmas 7. And I just, that is so classic. That is so cool. I just remember, you know, because there was no singing. The title's amazing. The title enough is amazing without the music, you know. And I put down here Suits, Buzzcuts, Cool Dancing, and I just remember, you know, I mean, all I remember is as sort of a mid-20s kid in Leeds, I remember watching the shift and the fate and the sway, and it was like this bunch of, like, young forwards, footballers, you know, just going through gyrating, you know, very stylish, you know, and I just, I mean, I went to see you, I saw the Two Tone Tour, back in,
you know, where did you see it?
Well, in Leeds. I mean,
wasn't it the Limit Club in Leeds?
No, that was Sheffield.
Is that Sheffield? Sheffield, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Where was it in Leeds? What was the place there?
No, I tell a lie, I didn't. I saw the Specials in Leeds, and I saw Selector. I might have seen the three of you. I'm not sure.
The three of us, we were doing the tour, you know. I don't know, maybe I can't remember. It's a long time ago now.
When you everybody was in fucking suits. Everybody was in like kind of amazingly sort of turn-ups, bro.
Yeah.
And you were all
horse and carts and stuff.
Yes, but it was I wondered where did ska come from? Because I remember from that time, I mean, I can remember like there was like punk and then there was power pop and post punk, and everybody was listening to sort of The Fall and bloody Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark and bloody Spandau Ballet. And then bloody this Prince Buster and bloody ska stuff just came out of stage left.
When I was younger, when Madness were having it, it was in the charts. You know, Desmond Dekker was in the charts and Johnny Nash. I suppose that, and it kind of came from us listening to reggae in the youth clubs. You know, I mean, I suppose my cousin was into it and he was older than me and I looked up to him. It's probably the same for most of the bands. It was we were just a bit later. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of coincidental, I think, that, I mean, for us, we were playing it because it was easy to play. We were doing Fats Domino because that was easy 12 bar. And we were doing like reggae ska because it was easy to play, simple chord structure.
So were you all together, was this North London Invaders, were you all like Suggs and Barson and everybody else? You just changed your name, but basically it was you lot started together and when you were, you know, in the youth clubs and stuff.
Well, I mean, I think the music, the music was played in the youth clubs when we were younger.
Yeah.
We played that stuff because it was simple to rehearse.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I was the original bass player, but I wasn't very good. Mark Bedford became the bass player.
Yeah.
And it's just easier to play. I mean, he was a better player. And what I'm saying is, Mark was probably the best musician out of the bunch. You know, Mike was pretty good. But everyone else was kind of learning, you know. But anyway. And the specials, it was just coincidence that they were playing, or they were, you know, they were influenced by the similar stuff.
Yeah, but you were all on Two Tone though, weren't you?
Yeah, well, Jerry Dammers, who was the keyboard player and the main man in the specials, he got a deal with Chrysalis to release six singles, and Suggs met him down in London when he played the Open Anchor, which was over the road from where I used to live then. And Jerry ended up seeing us and we ended up with the Prince being on his label.
Right.
It's Two-Tone 2 or Two-Tone 3, I can't remember.
So did you lot get on then? Was there kind of football teams? Was there a bit of a...
It was definitely competitive in as much as we were competing with everyone. I mean, when we supported the Pretenders at the Lyceum, we wanted to blow them off. You know, you just did you just do when you're young. But you must have known the same thing, you know. But But on the tour bus, it was like just one big. There was a feeling of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. You know. Yeah. You know. It was a. Yeah, it was a great feeling of camaraderie on the tour bus because we're all together on one bus.
So did you pick stuff up off, you know, like pick up some tips and maybe some...
No. We're all each band had their own sort of vibe. Their own sound.
But you weren't doing any magpie thing of just kind of, that's I like what they're doing there. I'll just borrow a bit of that how he plays it.
No, not really. I mean, I think the only thing that we probably tried to do was to be more energetic than the other bands, you know? But, I mean, everyone was doing the same thing. Terry Hall, the singer in the specials, he was very loush in his performance, very laid back. But, you know, but the band as a whole had that electricity, you know. So all three did. All three had a it was like attack, you know, make show.
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, thank you very much. That's enough. That'll do. No. I've got another hour to go. Yeah.
We finished yet.
No, we fuck. We've got loads.
That's like 20 minutes. How do we do that?
I was scanning some stuff this morning and just reading about you were born in London, in some lesser area or some really, but you moved to Ireland, and
I was born into Ireland on good British soil in the parish of Marylebone. There came the child by. I was born in the Middlesex Hospital, which of course now is like luxury flats, but back then it was off Tottenham Court Road. And we moved back and forth, Ireland, a few different places, lived in Iraq, Iran, in the 60s and 70s.
So what was your dad doing that you were working in it?
That was a petroleum engineer, you know. He was an engineer, really, procurement engineer. He did, he was a funny geezer, actually, you know.
So he's still alive, your dad?
No, he died, Lord of Mercy, I can't remember what the dates are now. When did he die? 1996, he passed away, yeah.
All right, well, God rest him anyway. I lost my dad 12 years ago, and he was like 91,
Wow, what an amazing age.
Yeah, he was, me and him had a very tricky, really difficult relationship for years. He was really sort of quite rigid and quite, he was like a rock. He didn't drink. He took a vow when he was a kid. He was a pioneer.
He took the pledge.
So, I mean, there was one time when he was lost in the snow when he was like maybe in his about 19 or 20, and they found him in the snow, and he was basically like nearly, he was going to die of exposure. And half a dozen lads got round him, you know, and they found him. And then one of them opened a bottle of brandy to try and sort of to put in it, and he got up and beat the shit out of them all.
My great grandfather. He stopped in Kilkenny in Ireland. He stopped a runaway horse and carriage. And the woman who was in the carriage jumped, was hysterical, and kicked him in the bollocks. And he died from it. But they offered him brandy, and he took the pledge. And he wouldn't touch a drop, and he ended up dying.
He ended up dying from what, being kicked in the balls?
Well, maybe it was the horse that kicked him in the bollocks, not the woman.
Jesus. It's Ireland, isn't it?
As I like to say, my dad never hit me once. It was always a combination, you know.
It's funny. I did a little interview just before Christmas for this guy called Des Hurley. He was a fiddle player in Leeds, and he's doing a project about from Leitrim to Leeds, and about kind of the culture of like Ireland coming over here, and about young Irish people coming over in the 60s, and the way that rock and roll hit them, and art, and the Beatles, and all that stuff.
There's a massive, massive debt in British pop to our Ireland.
But anyway, Des Hurley was, he found a little cassette tape of my dad playing the flute. My dad was he played six instruments. And he was he played the concert flute and the pipes, played the Aeolian pipes and the accordion and that. And my dad was a really accomplished musician.
Aeolian pipes. I love them.
Oh man, amazing! And he sold them to this. He sold them to online.
To
somebody in Chicago.
Yeah.
He got to. He got about 3,500 for him.
Yeah. Anyway, love a bit of Alien Pipes.
Yeah, this mate of mine, Des, he found this old tape, and it was my dad playing in this place called the Town and Country in Leeds.
What was he playing?
He was playing the flute with my dad.
Oh, wow.
And he was playing with Des and all his mates from 1991, March the 16th, 1991. Wow. My dad was like 73, and he just flew through a few jigs and a few reels and stuff. And anyway, Des has made this little program that's going out online from Leitrim to Leeds, and it's coming out shortly. And he just came across this lovely mute, so I've just made a copy for my mum.
Lovely.
Like, mum's 83, and I've made a few copies, and it's just strange because the flute takes a bit of lung power, and my dad was like 73, but he sounded like a 19-year-old man. You know, he's just flying over the keys. You know, so and it was one of my brothers is in the hospital with COVID, and he ended up on a ventilator about a week ago. And all of us are just in the wars. My mum and I'm one of seven, so everybody is like really kind of frightened.
How is he getting on?
Well, he opened his eyes this morning. He went in last Thursday. They put him on a ventilator, and he squeezed the nurse's finger, and like basically everybody's just fucking.
What's his name? Annoyed.
My brother's called Joe.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so everybody's kind of we're all struggling, and I've no idea where that was going, that line of conversation, you know.
Well, we went from family to flute to lungs to the brother.
All right, yeah, lungs. No, there's something in between the lungs and the brother.
Well, it was the flute, your father being able to blow the flute. Having a good lungs. So then your brother Joe having COVID and being on the ventilator.
Yeah. Well, it's anyway, but it was fine.
It's not as good as your dad. What?
I found the link, Chaz. It's the link is that we're all so bloody happy, and I can give my mum this CD of my dad, and that'll give her another. Well, yeah, just it's like a little Easter egg now, you know, an early Easter egg.
I mean, it's like a time capsule from the past coming unexpectedly, isn't it? How beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it just came. It's like a shock, a rude shock to just kind of like wake us all up.
Sure.
So is your family okay? Have you been touched by this plague?
My son's partner, her auntie was in Ireland. She's been ill, but she recovered. Thank God, no, the family's been okay. My cousin is actually working in an ICU ward, and she was working on the ward the first time round back in March, and she went back on the ward again on the COVID ward about 2 weeks ago, and she's had a tough year. It's been hard, and she. All kinds of hours, 8 hours in a Hamzat suit on the ward, not being able to go to the toilet. I mean, it's been tough. When it started out in March of last year, the team leader said, one of you is going to die, you know, on her team. I mean, it was like, you know, full on. But thank God she's okay, and her sister's in medicine as well. So, it's tough. It's tough for them.
Yeah, but
great, amazing. Yeah,
and we're sort of. I feel like myself. I feel like I'm just a watcher. I'm set back, and I've just done a bit of Pilates and
really?
Doing this. Yeah, I just started to do Pilates a few months ago. So I'd never done it before, and I'm a runner. I used to go out doing marathons and stuff, and run down the canal and stuff. And my knee, I started to get arthritis in it. And so my girlfriend said, well, come and do some Pilates on a Zoom here, because everybody wants Zoom. So I'm in the kitchen, sorry, in the living room here with a shorts on, just doing cats and upward dog and downward dog, whatever. You know, it's good.
Yoga.
Sorry?
That's yoga, isn't it? Downward dog and all that.
Yeah, no, but that's part of Pilates as well.
Oh, is it? Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah. Pilates is like a kind of an amalgam of like yoga and other sort of I think it was a German guy who sort of
German dancers, yeah.
Yeah, well, some guy took all the best bits of various exercises and, you know, including yoga and
smart move.
The core. It's all about the core.
Absolutely. My core's I smoked months ago and my core's a bit enlarged, shall we say.
Yeah, well, it's the thing is, we're bubbles in bubbles. We're like little bubbles in big bubbles. It doesn't matter what we look like now. We can do what we like. We can become blobs. We're allowed to be blobs. There's no gigs for like another year or something, whatever. And Glastonbury's just finished.
Glastonbury's finished. Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
We played the last 14 Glastonbury's. Whatever it was, 2007 we started, and we'd never played a festival before. And I sent it to one of the tents, and it just toured the tent, and it went around all the tents, these little CDs. Nobody seemed to know what to do with it. They're saying, I don't know if it's not really, don't know. And it did about three tours, so... Anyway, about 9 months later, we got a call saying, you can come and play in our tent. We've liked your CD. We've been playing it, and it's nice. So we got a foot in the door and played at this place called the Avalon.
What tent was it?
The Avalon Cafe Stage up in the Greenfields. Just one of the smaller ones up in the green area, whatever it means.
It's great to be part of it, isn't it?
Oh, man. When I first got divorced separated from my wife, my two mates said, we're going to take you to Glastonbury. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. I said, I'm 40-year-old. I've got two small kids. I'm not going off to see any crusties and dogs on ropes and stuff. No idea. Anyway, they dragged me off to Glastonbury and they got me working in the car park. And I brought a nice old tweed suit and a cardigan and some bedroom slippers. And I went mental in the car park. I don't know what happened, but I was selling cornflakes to the drivers and stuff. I said, come and get some Kellogg's, come on. And I don't know what happened, but there was so much stimulation. There's so much kind of going on. And I just went off army box with joy. I thought, this is for me.
It's like a pagan festival, isn't it?
Well, it's just Disney for adults, isn't it? It's mad, you know. It's great.
I think it's the one festival that it's acceptable for you to get off your head at. Just everyone. Yeah, it's a brilliant festival.
Yes. Well, anyway, it's not happening, and so we're just. So what are you doing? What are you doing, or what have you been doing over the last sort of year then?
The last year.
Your habits obviously have changed. So.
I'm pretty much I'm off under radar completely. I live in the countryside. I don't go out much. I don't see that many people. I'm in Spain, so I look forward to my kids visiting. Of course, that didn't happen this year. I've just come back from on Wednesday. I came back from 2 months in the UK, so I could be with my. I went in quarantine with one son. For a month,
yeah.
Stayed with him for a month, then I went to London so I could see my son and daughter.
How old are they?
Huh?
How old are they? How old are your children?
My oldest, Casper, is 33.
Yeah.
He's had a son, so I was hanging out with my grandson, Grayson. He's like 18 months, and it's like again. You know, I did it. I did grey car, yellow car, red car. Brilliant. And him and his partner Neve, she's from Kilkenny, where my dad was from. Yeah. Anyway, then I was with so Milo, my second son, who was up. He's in Oxfordshire. Him and his missus Sonia. They're both really good cooks. I mean, it's really nice to be wanted, to hang out by your kids, you know. So I had a nice time with him.
What you say? It's really nice to be wanted by your kids.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And then my daughter, she's 26 on the 3rd of March. So they're all grown, but yeah, they're great. I like to say that my children are my success. You know, my relationships with them is the best thing in the world. You know, it's brilliant. Brilliant being a dad.
You know? What was it like when you were, you know, treading the boards, when you're out, kind of when they were a lot younger? What kind of dad were you then when they were small?
Well, the first time round they weren't born, so they were I think they were maybe like 5 and 7 or 4 and 6, the two boys, when Madness reformed. I think it was like 91, 92 when we came back. And Casper, I think he was born in, I think, 86. So he'd have been like, you know, 5 or 6. So they were kids. They loved it. I mean, the funny thing was, because we'd stopped for 6 years, when the kids were around 4 or 5, I played the videos. I hadn't watched the videos for years, and they loved it. I mean, I started bringing kids on for Night Boat to Cairo. We do it all the gigs now. We bring kids on, you know. But yes. I started with my kids and Suggs' kids, and they loved it. I mean, you know, it was great. I separated from my wife in 2005.
Yeah.
And I brought my middle son Milo, my daughter, on tour, and that was great fun. That was lovely.
So,
I mean, you know, I always wanted to be a dad. You know, I always wanted to be a dad. I loved it.
Yeah. It's funny, when I became a dad, I got a shock, and it was just a shock, basically. But I fell into, I thought, well, I'll just be myself and I'll just love the child. And I was just thinking, I won't be a bully and I won't frighten them, and I'll try and be, I'll be attentive. And when I was a little boy, I had like my younger brothers around, I was the eldest. And I used to, when we go to bed at night, I'd tell my brothers and sisters stories. So they asked me, Michael, tell us a story. And I'd make a story up every night in bed. And I could hear them I could hear them going off, or that Jared's just gone to sleep, Martin's gone to sleep. And I could just hear them going. I'm thinking, and I'd be talking about Prince Rupert and his magic van and stuff, and I'd tell a new story every night. But I wanted to be, my kids are going to, because me and my dad, I was really frightened of my dad, and he was quite scary at times.
Don't you think that as a parent, we always try and do better than our parents did?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Just try and do better.
Yeah, and then I started out with very good intentions, and it got a bit difficult at times. But my son is 31 now, and he's living in Limehouse in London, and my daughter's in the Old Kent Road.
Okay.
And she just had COVID with a partner, and they're just come out at the end of it. But she was a textile designer, and she was working for H&M in Sweden, in Stockholm, for a few years.
Nice.
Both of them said to me just before Christmas, they said, Dad, me and Seb have been looking at your website and stuff, and your social media stuff, and we think it's really pants. And we just said, listen, we spent all weekend looking at it, and we decided we're going to help you. And think of us as two top professionals, not as your children, and we work for nothing. So like you said about, it's nice to be loved. Well, I felt so kind of warmed by the fact that they were going to take care of me.
Yeah,
And they've been fiddling on the website, and my daughter's been tweaking photographs and stuff, and saying, Dad, don't put all that stuff on Instagram. That's just cut that out. You don't need to put that in. And you need to put it on a Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, because that's when it's peak sort of. So that, you know, whatever. But it's very heartening to, you just feel like you've done right if you get,
someone said you can tell where you are psychologically by the nature of your relationships with others. And if you've got a great relationship with your kids, job done.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's it. I go to sleep at night, and I'm basically a born worrier. I bite my nails and stuff. I'm really anxious and stuff, but I sleep like a baby. And because none of my children, I've just been talking to my older daughter, she's 48. sorry, 42. And she's a singer. She sings R&B, and she was, well, she's not anymore, but she's, yeah, it's just lovely. They all sort of ring up, and I'm keeping them in the loop, and they come and watch me. They come and watch me play. And my son, who's into hip hop, they're all the mums were black. I've got, you know, three black kids, and the mums, my son, he used to do a blog about the politics of hip hop when he was 14 or 15 in Ipswich, and he knew all about Death Records and about fucking Jay-Z and Nas and Ja Rule and all these people, and he hated what I did. He thought I was, dad, don't do that stuff with straws. Stop wearing them stupid clothes, Dad. Please don't come to school. Don't come to school wearing them trousers, Dad. And stop skipping. Stop skipping, Dad. But now he comes to see me.
Oh,
now he's 31 and he stands at the back, and he's like 6'3", the big black man. Stands at the back of the room. Stands at the back of the room there like a big wall, like a big wardrobe.
What's his name?
His name's Sebastian.
Oh, that's my second son's Milo Sebastian.
Yeah. But they come to see me, and he's a big Leeds fan as well, is Seb. And he takes me to Leeds matches when he comes up to Leeds now and again. And it's great.
And what's he doing with himself?
Seb, he sells advertising space on the net.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you. I don't know. He works with big companies, and he introduces big companies to little companies. So they're a little company like
as long as he's happy, great.
It's fine. No, the thing is, they're all, sorted.
Yeah.
I've had no kind of issues, and I was really worried that I thought I'm going to end up with, like, you know, there might be somebody who has a drink problem or a junkie or whatever, this, that, and the other. And my kids have managed to get to 30, 31, 40. And they're sort of steady. So it's like, job done.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
Because I think, we beat ourselves up because we just see our own frailties, and we think, how could we do anything good? How could we produce anything strong and noble? And because we just see ourselves as just as wrecks, you know, and we're not, you know, we just we'd say everybody's a wreck, you know. We just have to. We keep going.
No one's perfect.
Yeah. Where are we now? 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Well,
let me see. Let me check my watch. 20 minutes. You're right.
Yeah, I noticed that you were. I remember listening to a Radio 4 program. It was maybe about 10 years ago, and you were on an interview, and you were talking about. Being, I think, in the bathroom or something, and possibly talking about meditation or something. And you were just saying how I remember it was because it stirred me, because it wasn't, you know, my impression of you was as this mad, crazy sort of. Maverick. I mean, you know, your style and everything was really kind of interesting. I really like the way you put stuff together. It was like watching something like Viv Westwood's Son or something. You know, you threw stuff together, you know, and then you were in this interview and you sounded very kind of downbeat and quite subdued and quite reflective, and it was quite a reflective, and it just seemed to, because it wasn't madness. It was it was very much like kind of Lent. you're just talking about how you didn't need the phone and this, that, and the other, and there's something about finding a place of stillness anyway. And it just, and I was quite surprised, you know, because. But anyway, I just read this stuff about you doing transcendental meditation, and
I dabbled in TM, but only for a short while. I used to go on the retreats, Buddhist retreats, with Mike, our keyboard player.
Yeah,
I went to, we were in Japan, and I picked up, in the hotels in Japan, it's a bit like the Gideon's Bibles in the West. They have the Eightfold Noble Path, you know, the Buddhist things. Mm-hmm. So I picked that up and it was interesting. And I came back to London, went to a Zendo for a bit, got interested in Zen. And then Mike, our keyboard player, he was into a group called Rigpa, which was a Tibetan Nyingma sort of tradition. And I used to go to that with him. I went on a few retreats with him. And I think there's a beautiful spot in all of us, that soft spot that we find hard to show people. And sometimes we have difficulty nurturing. And for me, to be really honest, to have peace of mind and to feel contentment, to me is amazing. You know, that's a kind of beautiful thing, you know?
Mm. You feel sort of at peace with yourself. You think you're going through a peaceful time at the moment in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Life is amazing, you know. I'm older now, so...
Yeah, I think that helps. I think the fact that I've become, whatever, I'm 65, I was 65 last in May, and I can feel myself as a sort of as a nice old man.
Yeah, I mean...
You see a lot of old folk, old men and women, and they have a nice... They look like they've got it sorted. There's a lot of them you see, and they've got kind of a lovely expression on the face. They can't be surprised by anything. You know, I mean, they've seen it all.
Exactly. I mean, you know what life's like. So, you know, life throws curveballs, but you know, you sort of get used to it, and it's like it is as it is. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if with age we all become sort of stoic. You know, to an extent. You know.
Mm. No, it's great. I think the fact is that it's such a surprise, life, because I never expected to sort of have like dentures, and I never expected to have sort of no hair, and I still feel there's a clash of me being like, there's a 14-year-old in here that's going, what happened to all my flesh? You know,
I am reminded of my age because of my body, but my mind still feels like, you know, like a bit like a you know, oh, I don't know, somewhere maybe between 25 and 36, maybe. I don't know. I still feel bubbly and effervescent sometimes in my thinking, you know, and it's fightable. But generally, I'm sort of pretty level, you know?
Yeah, good, which is good. All right, well, yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I've done a bit of antidepressants and stuff, and because I've had them recently, and they have kind of helped.
How did you find that?
I have to find it all right. You know, I'm on a very, very small dose, whatever, and it sort of keeps me like anxious. I've got my books coming up and my accounts to finish, and I'm like, I used to go through fucking nightmares about my books, but I think the tablets give me a little bit of help to kind of keep calmer, and so I can get on and do stuff, you know. And initially, I was quite sort of I didn't want to do it because it felt kind of emasculating, or felt like, oh, I can't, you know, I don't need to, I'm going to strong it out. You know, tablets are for wimps. But I went for some therapy, and the woman said, I think you need to just try it. And I said, what? You know,
there's nothing wrong with having a little chemical tweak. Yeah. You know, I had to have radiotherapy for a tumor I removed. I went and got on some antidepressants just to lift my mood, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to go into the pits. And of course, you know, you've got to take them for a year. So I did a year and then I stopped. But
you get a kind of a bell goes off. You think, no, I'm all right now. I've done my stints.
I totally get the anxiety thing over stuff. I mean, I'd get anxious over going into my own bank to get my own bloody money out. You know, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, as someone said to me, you know, you're either in the fear, it's either fear or love. You know, if you're in the fear body, everything's a bit, you know.
Fear or love.
Yeah, it's either fear or love.
And it's good coming out of, I know on the morning when I wake up and I think, oh, I hate mornings. And then I kind of, I say a little prayer and that sorts me out. And then I kind of, I'm less frightened. And I can just wade into the day. And I think I'm less kind of thinking, there's all this to do. I know there's like this old head comes in and says, well, you can do three things today. You can sort out the house, cleaning, and you can put a wash on, and you can maybe do some emails. And that's enough for you. You know, you don't, you know, just telling
you. Don't do too much. You don't have to do too much. Yeah. I think the other thing is that it's very natural for us humans to rerun on negative loops. Mm-hmm. So I always think of my kids. I've been grateful. You know, I'm generally though my thinking is pretty good these days. Mm-hmm. I think when if you've had a bit of depression or whatever, then you know it's all about the headquarters. It's all about the head stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So you start learning little techniques and that to keep a lift. You know, like hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to the critic. Stop it. You know.
Yeah. But you sometimes need people to tell you, and you know, like a therapist or somebody, just to say.
You're in it. You don't know you're in it. No, you know. Absolutely. I remember going to my doctor once, and he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I lie on my sofa. I read books. I smoke dope, and I watch videos." He goes, "You're depressed." I'm like, what? Really?
So what do you do when you do? Are you in the middle of the country, or are you on the coast, or what?
I'm right in the middle of the country. I'm in the countryside. It's
where are you?
It's very windy.
Chad,
I'm in Ibiza. Outside a beautiful village called Santa Gertrudis, whereas my kids Santa Get Rudy. I'll show you, it's lovely. It's just, you know, it's quite windy today.
It's windy over here as well.
See?
Yeah, but we've got some storm or something, like Storm Jesse or something. I mean,
yeah,
right. Okay. No, very nice. It's bright.
There's all my flowers here. There's all my flowers.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Oh, lovely. Cacti.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a gardener?
Not really. I stick stuff in pots and I water it, you know. I mean, this is it here. I mean, it's all, you know.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with a spider plant. They grow like crazy, you know. So
yeah.
There's excellent. My chums going. Ah, it's lovely, eh?
What's that? What's them bells?
That's the chimes up there. Look,
all right.
Can you see it?
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Good tune.
Yeah, I think we're in C. Is if I play the guitar, it fits in. They fit in. But it's windy. It's cold. It's cold.
All right. Is that a roll neck jumper you've got on, Chad?
What?
Is that a roll neck jumper you've got on there?
Sure is, mate. Just
This is it. Yeah, the work for the older man.
I've got all the tattoos, you know, cut here.
Oh man. Anyway, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. Can you give us I ask people what music they could recommend to the people on the Ego Pod, and it can be like an album or a single. What's floated your boat in the last few days?
In the last few days, I've been listening to a collective called Salt, SAULT.
Yeah.
Because they've got this song called Little Boy, and it makes me think about my grandson. But I downloaded the album. I think the album's called Rise. Really kind of soul vibe. But what's really floated my boat recently is Aldous Harding. I think she's brilliant. The album's, I think it's called Designer. But I really, really love the lyrics. Yeah, Designer.
What's the album called, Cal?
Designer.
Designer. All right. Okay.
Okay. If you go on YouTube, or Spotify, you can hear the sort of the lead song is called The Barrel. But yeah, brilliant. And then I've been listening to a thing called Honey Thighs by Strong Boy, and Billy No Mates.
Billy No Mates. Yeah.
And I like what she's been doing with the Sleaford Mods.
Yeah.
And Pokey Lafarge, Let's Get Fucked Up. That's been interesting. And the Fontaines, DC.
Oh yeah, the Irish crowd. Yeah.
Along with Vivaldi, along with some Vivaldi. You know, I like a bit of Vivaldi.
Yeah. Have you heard of Girls' School?
I haven't. Is it good?
Yeah. That's a band. They're from Northern Ireland, I think, and they're a bit like The Fall. Crazy stuff.
Fuck, you know, The Fall, you know, I got crow's feet around my face because I'm living too late. Up north. You know, I love a bit of The Fall.
Oh, man, great stuff. Yeah, I know, his lyrics could go on T-shirts.
Oh, man.
Mr. Smith. Did you ever have a Crossy's Path then, or Madison The Fall?
No, not at all. I mean, to be honest, I came to him quite late in their career, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have met him. He said, I mean, you know, what a gnarly, you know, individual, you know, but yeah. Fabulous, you know.
No, I mean, I can remember hearing The Fall for the first time, and I think for the first 6 months, I just found them so objectionable and so difficult. And then after a while, I realised that there was something indefinable about them. I thought that I thought this is a puzzle I need to solve, like a riddle. And some of the language is so kind of sophisticated and yet so kind of crude. I'm thinking,
you think of the Sleaford Mods, you know, it's like, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's sort of a bit like when you listen to complicated jazz, you've got to figure it out. It doesn't make it easy for you, you know. But I liked his it's like someone said to me, I said to someone, I suppose it's about going against the grain. And he said, no, but first you've got to know which way the grain goes. And you know, and Marky Smith went against the grain with his own inimitable style, you know. And I thought amongst everything else, it was just so attractive, you know.
Yeah. He was very cool. I mean, if nothing else, he dressed like a god. I mean, I just remember seeing him in a safari suit in about 1981 and thinking, he's wearing a bloody safari suit. And he had this side-combed hair. I'm thinking, how do you get anybody to go to bed with you dressed like that? But he was...
You can imagine the nicotine stain on his fingers.
The smell of his fingers.
He probably nicked his dad's Vitalis.
Well, all right, listen, Carl, we're going to stop it here because it's coming up to about an hour now. And
the missus will be out of the bar.
She's still in the bar. She's reading, probably, I think.
What's she reading?
Well, let's see. She reads loads. She reads a lot of stuff. She reads. She's always put me onto different books, and I get a different books. And she's a big film festival fan. And she just applied. She applied to. There was this thing. A Swedish film festival were offering one person to go to this island with a lighthouse on it. And this.
Wait, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she applied for it. She did. Did me. And but she never got to. Never. Anyway, so thousands of people applied for it. And yeah. Evidently, you can actually watch these films or something.
It was a week of isolation.
Yeah. No social media. No phone. You just go there and you watch 60 films and do a video diary or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what Kath, she spends November in Leeds. She takes 2 weeks off and she goes to the Leeds Film Festival and she watches about 60 films over about 8 days. She's doing like 5 films a day, and she's a maniac. You know, she's a
My kids used to call, is she a potter?
She works in porcelain and she does ceramics and stuff, you know. And also mosaics as well.
Oh, I love all that. I got a friend in Paris and she's learning that thing of repairing, you know, where you see all the repair, where it's been repaired. But yeah. my kids called me Mr. Blockbuster because I used to go to Blockbuster and I used to get 3 fucking films out at a time, right? And I remember being in there one day and the bloke was a bit stroppy to me and I said, oi, pack it in. I said, I'm probably your best customer. He goes, I doubt that very much, sir. I went, you fucking have a look. He went, oh, sorry. I read it so many. I love films.
Blockbuster.
I love films. Love them. Yeah. Anyway, look.
I've got a film to recommend you.
Go on.
Calm with Horses.
Calm with Horses. Okay.
Yeah. It's an Irish film. It's about this. It's about a minder. He's like a hitman. And he's like a heavy, and he works for this like a gang of gypsy guys, these travelers, I think. And he's like he's got an autistic son, a young lad, and him and his wife are having marital difficulties, and he's basically he's sick of being a hitman, he's sick of being a minder because he has to go around and sort of break into people's houses, beat people up if they're not paying the bills. He's like a heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's basically it's about his love of animals. He likes horses,
right?
It kind of gives him some peace to be, you know, out in the field with a horse and just. The film is it's an amazing film called Calm with Horses. Yeah. Came out about 2 years ago. It did.
I'll have a look for it. Nice one.
And another musical thing for you, Cal. I've got Out to Lunch by Eric Dolphy.
What's that?
That's Eric Dolphy. He's a sax player and a flute player, and it's modern jazz. He died when he was about 40. And
is that a film?
No, it's an album, Out to Lunch.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
Right,
okay,
so that's it. Right, look, well, listen, I hope that we'll kind of see each other in the flesh.
Inshallah. Hopefully I'll come and see it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna talk to Martin anyway. I chatted him and he's I met him at a funeral. He's a nice man.
He's a lovely soul. He really is.
And we clicked straight away. I mean, we just sat there. I call him Martin Rotten because he's got a voice like Johnny Rotten.
He's one of the good guys, isn't he? He's a decent man.
Yeah. Well,
I was going to recommend a book to your girlfriend, The Overstory.
Okay, The Overstory.
It's a really lovely read, The Overstory.
All right, best book. Who's that by?
Yeah. By a guy called Richard Powers.
All right, okay.
Lovely book.
All right, really now, well, listen, thank you very much. Bless you. God bless you.
Long life. Be well.
Yeah, yes. And now... That song of yours is beautiful. You're not alone. It's stunning. Right, and I'll see you again. I hope.
God willing, yeah.
All right, love the best, kid. Take care.
Ciao.
Okay, thanks, Chaz Smash, for coming on the Ego Podcast, and thanks to you listeners for tuning in. Chaz is currently working on some new poems. For further details, go to @CathalSmith, Facebook, Chaz Smash. And you can listen to this again and download this podcast on iTunes, Mick Artistic Ego Podcast. For further links can be found on their website, mickartistic.com. See you on the road and on the waves next time. Bye.